Call to order the House Special Session Committee on Budget Reconciliation, and we are in a work session for House Bill 4017. Mr. Britton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, House Bill 4017 makes a modification in the way, or would allow, the Department of Human Services to make a modification in the way dental services in the Oregon Health Plan are provided. Right now, dental services are within the list of services that are provided to both categorical and new eligible groups within the health plan. This bill would allow the department to modify the dental benefits to the new eligible population, non-categoricals only. We've also been given an amendment, House Bill 4017-1, and I'd like to go through it with you with respect to the bill itself, House Bill 4017, which you should have a copy of. Section 2 of the bill is now a fairly lengthy list of copayments that are contemplated in the Oregon Health Plan waiver. So the intent here with this amendment is to provide services to categorical eligibles, or I'm sorry, to non-categorical eligibles, along the same lines as are in the proposed waiver, OHP2 waiver. Now, the general fund savings that were included in a group of five plan were along the lines of about $6.1 million general fund.
I thought they were nine. Oh, excuse me, sir.
Would by chance Representative Schrader like to ask
yes,
a question?
Yes, sir. At one point, those were $9 million. Could you explain the transition?
Mr. Chair and Representative Schrader, my belief is that that related to the implementation date, that it was changed. You are correct. Originally, it was 9, but in the final group of five plan, the department had repriced the reduction, and it was more like $6.1 million of general fund.
Okay, thank you.
The cautionary proviso with this is that in the department's original analysis of how much the reduction could be, it was assumed that both non-categorical and categorical dental services would be reduced by 50%. This bill does not do that. It only reduces or would allow the department to reduce services to non-categorical eligibles. So the savings of $6.1 million, as this bill is laid out, are only possible if the waiver does not go into effect. The proposed waiver does not go into effect in October of this year. So just to caution you all on that. The fiscal impact statement for House Bill 4017 does not change with this amendment. And you can see on the fiscal impact, there's a savings of about $6.7 million. This is the...
Mr. Chair. Question, sir? The reason that the savings don't occur if the waiver goes into effect is because of the expanded population we're serving. Is that correct?
The savings that would accrue under the waiver would be used to expand the OHP2 population.
Is follow-up, sir? Are we able to do what we're doing in 4017 without having to talk to the federal government in any way?
I do not believe so, Representative Schrader. I believe that this proposed change has to go through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay. Last follow-up then. So what's the likelihood of this going through independently in October, whenever it is, as a reason, versus, as part of the package that we're trying to send also?
Mr. Chair and Representative Schrader, of course I'm not sure, but I don't think that the likelihood is as great as the overall waiver. And I know the DHS has some concerns about that, that they've expressed to me.
Okay, thank you.
The amendment, again, contains a series of co-payments. These are co-payments that would be in the general OHP2 waiver, and they do generate savings along the lines that, are listed in this fiscal impact statement of actually about $6.7 million general fund for the, for the entire remaining part of the biennium. That, I would turn it back to you, sir.
Any questions of staff? Can you follow up?
The FMA. The 6.7 then is as of what implementation date?
July of 2002. And it would continue through the remaining part of the biennium.
Just for my own sake, I guess, should we have difficulty with this waiver application, this independent waiver application going to CMS? We would have to revisit something in the emergency board or something, I assume, to make things happen. Is that correct?
May have to do that, but this is also, as I understand it, CMS's recommendation.
Okay.
Is that?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe CMS has made a recommendation on reduced dental benefits. CMS is the Federal Center for Medicare, Medicaid Services, ICHRA.
Okay, I misspoke then. Our, what's our...
Our Waiver Advisory Steering Committee has made this proposal for the OHP standard package.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? I believe we have some members of the audience or that wish to testify on this bill. It's my understanding that Mary Botkins, World Renowned Authority, wishes to say a few words.
Mr. Chair, World Renowned Authority? On what?
Well,
maybe she can enlighten me.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mary Botkin, representing AFSCME Council 75. And if you promise not to yell at me anymore, I'll stay here.
We'll make your testimony brief.
My testimony is going to be very brief. We had serious concerns with the House or the Senate version of the bill because it excluded adult dental care. This bill and your, on this side is much better. And having not had the opportunity to check with my people back at home, I can't say it's great, but I don't see any serious problems with it. Their big concern was the elimination of adult dental services in the counties. This addresses that major concern, and it looks okay to me. And I want to thank you, Mr. Chair, for not yelling at me.
Well, I'm glad. I mean,
not
that
yet.
Implies that I yelled at you before. I can assure you that had I really yelled at you, you would know it.
I thought I did.
Record, oh, no. I'm glad for the record to know that we've agreed on one thing in our...
Mr. Chair, as you know, in our six-year tenure, we have agreed on more than one thing. Thank you.
Name two. Quick. And time's up. I've got a couple others. I'm inclined to bring up Holly Robinson first from Ledge Council. If you could enter and sign in, please.
Can I do that when I'm done? Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Holly Robinson from Legislative Council, and I'm here just to clarify a question that has come up that was raised by Representative Schrader. In the way that the -1 amendments have been written, these proposed amendments are tied to the approval of the waiver and the waiver going into effect. So if, in fact, the whole of OHP2 dies because the waiver dies, then this piece will also die. So they, you don't have to bring it back to deal with it. They have the same trigger. Let's put it this way. They have the same trigger. And so when the waiver, if the waiver gets approved and the new plan goes into effect, then this would go into effect as well.
So if I understand.
Holly, trust me, it's been a difficult enough day.
The answer to Representative Schrader's question, if I might, was no. You won't have to do anything. You don't have to bring this back. If this bill gets enacted, you wouldn't have to bring it back, regardless of what happens to the waiver application.
No, I'm just worried about the savings, sir, than what the reality is here. That's all.
Yeah, I am too.
Jim, would you have any clarification on that point? Enter and sign in, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jim Bunn, representing Northwest Dental Services. I actually had a different viewpoint. I believe that this was an exact mirror of what was done with the waiver as far as those services that were provided, but it was independent of the waiver.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I think the difference is the semantics. Mr. Bunn's talking about the waiver application. It is identical to the waiver application, but until the waiver application gets approved, it's only the application.
Mm.
That makes sense.
We're going to take a slight recess.
Yes,
Anita, could you turn the tape?